Jim set his a little too close to her.
Shoved it back. Remember that? Man, I got on through. Prayed that the thing wouldn't go. Gonna walk through it. Waited on the other side. Jim was being helpful, and he picked up my briefcase to set it on the belt to help the poor little girl. Oh, she's gonna get on to him for it. And she saw him suddenly. And she opens up. I see you. Dr. Scott, she said. Jim says, there he is. Oh, where? Stop this. Oh, she came. I grabbed my straight arm because I knew a hug was coming, and I grabbed her arm where she'd break it if she got over. My staff had visions of both of us embraced going down that ramp. Oh, my grandmother watches you all the time, she says. I said, go kiss Dad. He likes it. And she did. And she smacked you too, Peggy. She really laid one on him, Peggy. God puts the clay on a wheel. Now he makes us go through security. I thought last night, we had that plane, we were flown up there, limousines taking us out there, done our thing, had them cater some Colonel Saunders chicken, come back to the plane, we'd have been in bed before we even got started last night. Now why can't God make it easier? Cause he's a boss and he knows what we need and it's his time to go splat. He probably figures out until he's ready for it. Put me in that plane and set me back a year in Jesusness. Boy, it'd really do Jesus good, but wouldn't do much for Jesus and me. God knows what we need. The potter determines the speed of the wheel. The potter determines when it stops. The potter determines the placement. But I'm a clay that talks back. So he goes, splat! Puts me in place center. I had it all figured out that I would get very Christ-like writing a book about Ezekiel on the beaches of South Africa. God said, splat, faith center. Doesn't fit my shape. Don't even have upholstered pews. Looks like a gymnasium. And God's been throwing me around like it's a handball court. Splat. Lynn came along singing for Jesus like a bird. God used me to have Jim send a message and have Dr. Alford sort of help us out a bit so God could go, splat, little canary! Faith Center. I said to her this morning about 3 o'clock, how attractive is heaven to you right now, Lynn? More and more every day, she said. The wheel, God knows what it takes to shape Gene Scott. And God knows what it takes to shape each of us. I don't like the spokes. Slow it down, I say sometimes. And then other times I say, speed it up. Get me out of here! God is the boss. He's shaping what he wants in me, and he puts us on the wheel. Person. That's it. Last part of the message. In the Old Testament, if the pot doesn't come out right,
Potter rejects it. You've heard me tell you this before. The potter is a person. God's trying to teach. He says, I do with you as this potter. But the potter of the Old Testament, though there is love breaking through over and over again, we see that. You don't really come to see the nature of the potter till you get to the new. Whereas John said, and I already quoted it this morning, no man has seen God, but Christ has declared him. God has no accidents in his book. I'm indebted again to G. Campbell Morgan for this. I can almost quote what he said. He said, you really think it's an accident that the last reference to the potter's work in the gospel record, Paul refers to it, but the last reference to the potter's work in the gospel record is that tragic incident where Judas, who sold his Savior, who could never tune in on God's purposes, sold his Savior for pieces of silver. When remorse gripped him after the fact, he cast the silver down. And God takes the trouble in his book to record that these pieces of silver were picked up and specifies what was done with them. The price of his life, the gospel says, was used, that money, to buy a potter's field. Morgan says, you think that's an accident? That God would add that incident? That the price of our potter's life was used to buy the field where all the rejected pots had been cast. It is no accident. If we had only the Old Testament, the truths would be unchanging. God is the boss. He has a right to do what he wants to do, and I can't change that. God has a purpose, and that purpose he's going to achieve as he puts us on the wheel and as he controls the shaping of the clay. And I don't understand the mystery of this, but I've watched potters. When they're working on a pot, there is absolute attention. Every little movement they utilize to shape that pot. God, in his omniscient ability, has that same attentive care for each pot that is here. Every vessel in whom his nature is come and on whom he is working, God gives that absolute attention. What about the flaws? Old Testament, into the potter's field. New Testament, with his own life's price. He buys the field where all the rejected pots are. Why, I said when I came to this church, bring me all the sinners. Don't divide them out on the sidewalk and say these deserve to come in and those don't. Nobody knows better than Gene Scott the joyous knowledge that he paid the price to buy the whole field where every broken, marred, and rejected vessel had been thrown. He won't change. As he takes them out of that field, he will still be the boss, will still shape. I have looked for 30-some months at lives in this congregation. I've seen some of them take shape and grow. I've seen some just stop. But as pastor, I know this. All it takes is a look. The Hebrews letter says, God did not do for angels what he did for us. Epilumphano is the word in the Greek. He stooped and reached down and took hold with the intent to pick up, to help, and to restore. Matthew 13 says it in direct prose. He paid the price to buy the whole field, to get the treasure out of the field. What is the treasure? A pot that will be shaped in his image
and a part that God can keep working on until He gets His product.
But glory to God, the potter that we deal with. Though He changes not in His purposes, He paid with His life, the price of His life, to have the chance to start over on you. That's the marvelous thing. That's why I've said ever since I've been a faith sinner. Sure, mistakes have been made. There are cracks in the pot. But my Lord died to obtain the privilege of digging out of that field all the rejected pots and starting over again. How will He start over? Smack, splat, spin, whack. But there is no mar and no break and no rupture in the vessel that He can't repair. And He paid the price to redeem us all. So on this day, when I'd like to say the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it is, instead I'm going to say, take a little R&R overnight, faith sinner, but tomorrow, get ready, splat, as He continues to do His work in us. Will you stand, please, and let's sing Bless the Lord. Come on, Sam, and Harmon. Each night this month, as we have achieved victory, Friday night and Saturday night, each night we have sung, Bless the Lord, Bless the Lord. I'm not going to ask anybody to respond. I've learned things about the Lord this month. And I pray God will let me rejoice in that knowledge, get a couple hours sleep, and then reach down and grab hold of myself and say, okay, Potter, I'm not even going to ask what you're making. Just get on with it. Here's August. Here's another month to be shaped with Thee. So right now, let's sing praise to Him as we accept God's right, God's purpose, God's method, and thank God He's a potter who loved us enough to die for us, but He's still going to work His work in us as long as we're in His hands.